The Spurs are back in action tonight, taking on the Dallas Mavericks.
You are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia, Spurs writer for Ken's 5 San Antonio. Glad to have you back. Hey, Spurs games, they're back. Yes, the agony of the season is about to come to an end already. This is the stretch run for the offseason. Remember those days when it was a stretch run for the playoffs? Remember the stretch run playoff ticket packages the Spurs used to trot out? Well, not anymore. I think all Spurs fans are just happy that this is the stretch run to the end of the season, because the real season begins once this season is over, aka the draft lottery. But that's for a whole other show. Thanks for making Locked On Spurs your first listen each and every day. We are free and available wherever you get podcasts. So as mentioned, we're going to be talking about Spurs returning to action tonight versus Dallas. Kind of a quick game preview. Maybe our thoughts on the Mavericks adding Kyrie Irving to the mix. Also, speaking of the last games, we're going to dive into that. What can we expect with the remaining 20-ish games the Spurs have on their slate? Thanks for making Locked On Spurs your first listen each and every day. Free and available wherever you get podcasts. I'm going to bring him on. He is our good friend, my colleague. He is Casey Vieira, back right here on Locked On Spurs. Casey, welcome back to Locked On Spurs. Hey, the season of agony is almost over, Casey.
We're we're almost there. Party's three-quarters of the way over.
I'm not wrong, right? You know, the Spurs fans, I mean, the real season begins once the regular season ends, right? That's how I see it as.
Yeah. But hey, listen, like you said, it's usually the case with San Antonio. So this is, in many respects, par for the course, right? The season for years, the season didn't start till April anyways. So yeah. Hey, what's another year just like it?
Exactly, yeah. How times have changed. I mentioned earlier, right now, I don't know if you recall this, but the Spurs used to have stretch run playoff ticket packages. Like, right after the All-Star break-ish, towards the end of the road trip, you know, get your stretch run package, for the playoffs are here. Now it's, can anybody just come? Anybody? We're having this
night. I was going to say, it's the only way to get them on April 8th, two games from the end of the season against Sacramento.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there is stuff to look forward to. I mean, if you're in Austin, there's a couple of Spurs games heading your way in just a few weeks. So, yeah, we're going to get into that later on the show. But make sure to follow Casey on Twitter at Casey_Vieira. He is holding it down on the sports anchor desk on the weekends for Ken's 5. So on the TV side, all things sports, you go to him. So, Casey, let's just get this out of the way. Spurs and Mavericks tonight. Look, it's on the slate. We got to talk about it. The Spurs resume their road trip. The last three games they got tonight, and then of course a pair of games against the Utah Jazz. But Dallas added Kyrie to the mix. Luka tends to open one up on the Spurs every time he faces them. More of the same. Another L coming.
Yeah, probably. And last time we crossed paths with Luka, he dropped 50 on the Spurs. So
yeah.
You know,
and the last time the Spurs faced Kyrie Irving out in Brooklyn, he decided to partake of the dunk contest in Brooklyn, just dunk one all over the Spurs.
Yeah, that was so weird, right? That might have been the most violent dunk of Kyrie's, I guess, 10-year career now. I'd never seen him do that before.
Yeah, neither have I. No. I remember when he was playing with the Cavs. And he had that insane game versus the Spurs at the AT&T. And it was like towards the trail end of the Big Three era. And yeah. He loves playing against the Spurs. But look, the Spurs resume the road trip tonight, 14 games up. A lot of games down, 45 games on the L side. You know, it's not going to be easy. You know, Kyrie and Luka, they're not there yet. Do you suspect they will get there eventually with just Dallas has about 20-ish games left? Because I think when Kyrie was by himself in a Maverick uniform, he was balling out, led the Mavericks to win. But when those two team players have come together, it hasn't worked out yet.
I don't think it will. I don't. But keep in mind, I've always been a Kyrie Irving skeptic.
Mm-hmm.
And post, I should say, post the Big Three Cleveland era, I've always been very skeptical of Kyrie and his ability to mesh and things like that, because every squad we've seen him on since, he has not been able to do that. So history would suggest pretty much more of the same. I mean, Brooklyn had its moments, but he couldn't stay healthy. And, you know, he basically led to the end of having James Harden there because of lack of chemistry. And, of course, how it all played out over the past couple weeks. Above all else, Boston, I mean, Tatum wasn't what Tatum was currently, of course. And that team still never really reached an expectation. So now you have him pairing up with a very polarizing figure in this game, probably top five player, not top three player in this league, who needs his touches. You know, we're seeing a lot of people saying they can both score off the ball, but that takes time. You know, we're running out of time. We're running out of real estate. And Kyrie, by all indications, of course, being social media, is that he's destined for this LA run, so it appears. And I don't think, you know, even if they do figure it out, I don't think they're good enough to get past the first round if they do that. I don't think they have much depth outside of that. And after that, I can't see Kyrie Irving staying. I think he's got a one-way ticket to LA. That's me. That's me, though. That's me.
So you're thinking this is just a cup of coffee on the way to LA, but that's it. Like in the offseason, he's gone, and that's it.
I do. Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. You know, I think you have to convince him and Luka that they're going to bring another stud in, perhaps another big. The only thing I've heard, you know, floated out there, you know, on the Twitter sphere and sports blog is if perhaps Dallas can flip Kyrie for Anthony Davis. If you're Mavericks and you're Lakers, do you do that?
I think that happens if the Lakers can find a way to fill that money with potentially another star, because you'll call the sign and trade even what it would be
right
between and Kyrie, and LA still has a lot of money left. So if they can get aggressive and maybe, you know, find their way to. Yeah, but now, even that I say this, how the hell are they going to, I was going to say Beal, but how are they going to get Bradley Beal when they don't have any assets?
Exactly.
Know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Harden's there, but Harden, rumor has it, he's heading back to Houston. I think a Davis trade for Kyrie, at least from an off the court standpoint or from a non-X's and O's standpoint, I think that makes sense, because I'm not sure Anthony Davis is totally enamored with the idea of staying in LA, but this is just based off, again, you know, optics and skepticism of the win-loss or the lack of success that they've had. I don't think if he were to be traded, I don't think he'd be overly upset about it. It's not like he's going to a non-contending team. He'd be going to play with one of the best players in the world again for more than one season, have more time to figure it out. On paper, I think it can make sense.
Yeah, the Mavericks come into tonight's contest 31-29-6 in the Western Conference. So they got themselves a playoff spot. Now you're looking at Dallas Mavericks. You know, they're coming in on a 3-game losing streak, but they're playing in their gym and playing against the Spurs. So they'll be able to dust that off right quick. As for your San Antonio Spurs, as mentioned, they're resuming their road trip tonight, 14-45. They're riding a 14-game losing streak. Historic, but not in a good way. But when we get back, we're going to continue our chat about tonight's contest, Spurs and Mavericks, right here on Lockdown Spurs with Casey Vieira of Ken's 5 TV. But hey, it's the midway point of the NBA season. It's right here, right now, a perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sports book. New customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sports app. It's safe, secure, super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores to threes drain. You can even build your favorite NBA bet for the week. Now, what do I mean by that? You do player props such as player points, rebounds, assists. You can even do exclusive bets like 2x3, basically 2 3-pointers scored in the first 3 minutes. Yeah, you can have a lot of fun with that. FanDuel even lets you combo your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with same game parlay. So don't miss your chance to get your first no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. We're back right here on Lockdown Sports with KC Vieira. He is with Kens 5. Follow him on Twitter at KC_Vieira. We're talking about tonight's game, Spurs-Mavericks. So as mentioned, the Spurs, KC, on the wrong end of history, 14-game losing streak, the longest in franchise history. I don't think they'll snap it tonight. I think it goes to 15. But if there is a silver lining, and again, we're recording this before the injury report is out, Devin Vassell might be back tonight. Might.
Okay.
Not enough for you to convince you to say Spurs got a W?
Not enough to convince me the Spurs would win, but certainly optimism in seeing him back.
I'm trying here, Casey. I'm looking for something. Something. No, anything.
But I mean, I still think that's a conversation, though, because it's a lot of how do you ease him back into it? Will he be in a minute's restriction? Will
likely.
He be playing back-to-back? Will he be coming off the bench? All those things likely. And the other conversation there being, of course, is it even worth it to bring him back? Which I do. Mm-hmm. At least to some, you know, maybe not full extent, but for the sake of getting him reps and ease his way back in, I think it's worth bringing him back. I do.
Yeah. I think so too. You know, one, you know, you want to get him more acclimated to being one of the guys, at least for now, depending on how the offseason shakes out. And, you know, put him out there again. He's itching to get back on the court. You know, he's been pre-gaming, you know, in street clothes, making buckets, you know, whether it be in the AT&T or on the road. So he's raring to go. But the Spurs, yeah, you're right. You know, what's the point of bringing him back, especially tonight against Dallas, where they're likely going to get curb stomped? You know, put him. Sure, you know, let him get the rest off. Let him test out that surgically repaired knee and see how he does. And I think there's a benefit to that. But at the same time, long term, I know where we're looking at tonight's
game. Doesn't help the tank cause. Yeah.
That's what you read my mind. I'm about to say that. Look, does it really hurt the tank if he comes back? I don't think so. I think maybe he makes it a little closer. Maybe it's not so lopsided in the scoreboard. But depending on the minutes restrictions, you know, his feeling, you know, is he winded? Is he gassed? You know, they pull him out. You know, I think you factor all that tonight. But, yeah, it doesn't look good for this person.
Honestly, if it's healthy, if he was healthy, are you looking at it and be like, oh, you know, I think the Spurs have a chance to really pick up and start winning some games here?
No.
Not really. No.
No, yeah. Not really. Well, that just goes to show you the makeup of this team. They don't have that guy. Imagine if they have that guy who was coming back from injury. And say, yep, they got a shot. Duncan coming back, they got a shot. Manu coming back, got a shot. Kawhi coming back, they got a shot. You know, they don't have that anymore. And that's, you know, that should tell you exactly what the makeup of the team is. Hey, you know, I think we're in agreement. Spurs probably going to get an L tonight, especially going up against Luka and Kyrie. But nevertheless, what did you think about Pop's comments to close right before the All-Star break, trying to light a fire under the team when it's a little too late, in my opinion? For all that, you know, we suck. Defense, if you want to win games, you got to play defense. You got to have professionalism. What do you think about all that?
You know, I've thought a lot about this. When I say a lot, I mean, I'm not sitting there sleeping at, you know, or getting ready to go to bed. And that's my final thought before I go to bed. So let me say this in the context. You know, I've been thinking a lot about that. And it's kind of... backwards is maybe a strong term, but it's like the entire season it's been thrown in their face that they're not expected to win. They're expected to be really, really, really bad, to the extent that even their own coach at times to the rest of us kind of jokes about it. While I'm sure behind the scenes he's still very complimentary, like that is, I feel like in any field, what you do, if the expectation is a lack of success, it's going to be deflating. And when it's deflating, you're having a lack of motivation to do what you do. Mm-hmm. So it's not hard to see it, to see why some of these guys would go out and lack an effort or not be overly enthused with how things are going, especially after the trade deadline. After the trade deadline, where they just saw two very well liked guys in that locker room leave. They've already lost, I guess, over a dozen games at that mm-hmm. point when it started happening. I could see a reasonable argument for that. On the other side of the coin, kind of one of those things where playing hard comes with the territory of, one, being in the league, and two, playing for this franchise. So you know what you're going to get, regardless win, lose, or draw, whatever happens here. You know that's an expectation of the job, period. So if that doesn't happen, of course, there's going to be a critical eye of it. And in the same token, despite there not being the expectation to win or anything like that, there is an expectation that you put in effort all the mm-hmm. time. And how, no matter how deflating, extenuating circumstances are in this scenario, you still have to do that. It's your job. And mm-hmm. I think when Pop's seeing that, he's like, you know what? This is their job. This is their job to do this. And I'm pissed right. that this is happening. I'm bothered. Like, this is happening. I'm not like yeah. we're not for that. Especially, and another learning lesson you can get from that too is, you know, because everything's all about teaching and learning this season, was that this is part of the process, part of the job of playing in the league, is mm-hmm. that you're gonna have critical eyes on you when you screw up. You're going to have coaches and outside voices be very, I guess, opinionated about your lack of performance. Mm-hmm. And you got to build up that callus now, because most of the guys on the team, they never heard that. They've never heard anything of that because there's been no expectations. But if you're going to a team in contention, say Keldon Johnson gets the Derek White route, and I'm just throwing this out there, you know, and he was traded to Boston last year, and he's in the finals. And he goes out there and he just, you know, has the gag job of gag jobs, turns it over late, just plays mm-hmm. miserable. I mean, that spotlight on him is going to be burning. So I think having a moment like this the other day, or I should say a moment like that the other day with Pop kind of sounding off, in that many respects, that you can make the case that's a teaching argument as well. Mm-hmm. I know it kind of went roundabout a little all over the place there, but it's a lot of it, I think, is valid from Pop, but I think a lot of it also at the same time is kind of like, well, what do you expect?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean, it's like that's been the culture this season. What do you expect guys not to be, you expect right. them to be this, overly yeah. thrilled? Yeah,
sure. For me, you know what it felt like a parent what? Getting mad at the kids. You know, like, hey, I'm going to put y'all in timeout, and you go think about what you've been doing. You go think about it over this break.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. Yeah.
Now you go in your corner, you know, and I'll see you in a few days. You think about what you're doing. That's what it felt like. And look, you got to put it out there too, Casey, because Pop's been saying it. He hasn't said this like bluntly in the point of saying, hey, you know, some of these guys may not be here next season, but in a roundabout way, he's been saying it. How many times have we heard this, Casey? We're evaluating many talent for the long term.
Many
who's
going
to be with us long term? So I think that's mm-hmm. another message to the team. Like, hey, if you want to stay here, do what you got to do on the defensive end. Because defensively, right. we're talking about historically bad and their losing streak right now. Historically bad defensively. I mean, they're so bad. And right. I've been just saving the Keldon Johnson talk, you know, for maybe after the season's over, because defensively, what happened to him?
I saw a metric the other day. The defense, did you see that? He's the worst defensively efficient player.
Good Lord.
He was the worst one in the league.
Yeah, unless he got the memo too before the season started, like, hey, there's this guy named Wembanyama. You want to get him on your team? Want to be your teammate? You know, let's do this. You know, but other than honestly, that.
Yeah, honestly, dude. that very much might have been an indirect way of hitting Kelvin.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Because mm-hmm. I think that of anyone on the team, that's the one you have, him and maybe like McDermott or something like that, but more so Kelvin, because it's not like McDermott's, mm-hmm. you know, Bruce Nolan out there. But I think you could, I think there's a, I could see a scenario where that's his very indirect way of firing that shot at Kelvin for his lack of energy, because that's where the expectation, the most primary expectation in my mind, needs to mm-hmm. be, is that a guy like Kelvin needs to be out there and doing that. And if he's not, well, then really he hasn't been yeah. all year. Yeah. I mean, that kind of thing's inevitable too.
Absolutely. We're here with Casey Vieira. He is with Ken's Five San Antonio. Make sure to follow him on Twitter at @Casey_Vieira. When we get back, we're going to look at the last few games. You know, are there any storylines you want to keep an eye on in these last games? We know the big one is stay within the three worst records of the league, but is there something more beyond that to your San Antonio Spurs as they close out the season right here on Locked On Spurs? We're back right here with Casey Vieira. Follow him on Twitter at @Casey_Vieira. And he is with Ken's Five TV, holding it down on the weekend, sports anchor desk. So, Casey, look, we know what the big assignment is don't get worse than the fourth worst record in the league. Stay within your first three, and that would be a success for this season because of the draft lottery. Okay, that's the big storyline. But is there another storyline you think that's kind of, you know, there lingering in these last few games for the Spurs season?
I don't want to say be cliche and just keep hammering it in, but I think it's just growth and seeing how some of these guys, how they're used and being able to expand their game a little bit more and put them in positions where we haven't seen them be in. And now that some of those windows are of opportunity are there post-trade deadline, see how they're used. I think that's probably the big thing you look at. You know, you're seeing it a lot more. Malachi Branham's getting infinitely more touches over the past couple weeks. Two, his credit has actually been pretty good. And I think scenarios like that, making a guy like him primary offensive option, or at least start your day with something like that in mind. I think mm-hmm. maybe putting Sohan in more facilitating positions mm-hmm. or something like that. You know, I think scenarios like that are probably the biggest thing to keep an eye on the rest of the season.
You know, for me, I think you're right. You're absolutely, the big one is, you know, outside of the draft lottery, is player development. Got it. Thumbs up. We know that's been one of the big things this season. But for me too, is seeing, you know, how guys like Charles Bassey can fit in long term. You know, he got himself a nice little contract. You know, how is he going to fit with this team moving forward? You know, you traded Jakob. You know, you have a massive hole in the middle now. You know, could that be their way of signaling they're all in for Wembanyama? I think all of these worst teams are. But there's that. And then there's also two, I think you got another storyline you can think about is, should the Spurs start shutting down their heavy hitters, such as your Keldons and your Devins, you know, with maybe a week and a half left, maybe don't play them 30 minutes a game, maybe a little over 20, start sliding them down, letting your guys like, you know, Blake Wesley play, Bassey play. I mean, hell, at this point, might as well call out some G League guys at Austin, see what they got. I mean, what do you got to lose other than to find some hidden talent?
Right.
Yeah. And then, of course, too, there's a big one, too. And that are these last few 20-ish games the last for Popovich as an NBA head coach? I mean, he's, you know, we're going to talk about this in the next episode of Locked On Spurs, but he's got, you know, the Hall of Fame finalist list. He's there. He's going in with Tony. Tony likely is going to make it, and he'll join the big three there. He's always said he wants to go out when the big three go out. Or Tim Duncan went out, but what great way to go out than entering the hall and the big three that made you the coach that you are, you're with them. Because that's something. And that's something I'm thinking about. Could these be the last few games of Popovich as NBA head coach, Casey?
So you know what's happened here. We thought for so long that at the end of every season that he was going to retire. Yeah. We're just pretty much callous to that argument now. And when this is going to happen, he's finally going to retire. that's how this is going to work out, right? For so long, it's like, oh, he's coming. No, I think he's done. He comes back. I think he's done. He comes back. I mean, it's been that way, what, for like four seasons now?
Yeah.
Give or take. We're like, oh, Becky Hammon's coach in waiting. Becky Hammon heads to Vegas. So I think, yeah, I think that's the same, I guess, speculating that we're going to have every single season.
Mm-hmm.
But until we get a more concrete idea of it, I don't think so. I think he'll be back.
I think
he's enjoying this. I really do. I think he's enjoying coaching these new guys because it's kind of refreshing. This is the biggest flex ever. But it's like the winning, the going out there and consistently winning things. Like, all right, I've done that. I've done that. I've done that. Just like any other job, when it's, you know, you're going through the motions of all right, you know, I've done that. Sandwiched in there are two very mediocre seasons, and you need something to get your enthusiasm up and change it up a little bit. I think that's what this year provides, and I think he's enjoying it. And as long as he's enjoying it, he's going to leave on his terms. You know, we know entirely that this clock is around him. It's not what the Holt family decides. It's him when he wants to go. And right now, I don't think so. I don't have any reason to believe.
Yeah, I think it gets rejuvenated if the Spurs do win the lottery or get pick number two to have what many consider one generational player and one incredibly great player, possibly in Scoot Henderson. Yeah, I think that might rejuvenate him. It does feel like a busted clock here. You know, repeating the same thing over and over every season for the last five seasons or so. Is this it for Popovich? But he's not into Cinderella stories, endings. You know, happy. You know, lovey and. But I think that'd be a great way to him to go out. You're finalist for the Hall of Fame. You enter the hall, you join the big three. Why not? You know, but that's just me. I mean, that's how I would drop the mic. Casey, I don't know about you. Would you drop the mic like that?
I drop the mic like that.
He does like the paychecks, though.
Yeah, I mean, he said that opening day. He said that opening day, he comes back for the check. Would I do that? It really depends how much fun I'm having.
Yeah.
If I think he is truly enjoying this. If he was out there and this was just a tour every single day to show up to work, which it does not appear to be, I don't think I would.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if I knew that there's a reasonable chance I'm going to get a really good player in there that I could help better for the betterment of this franchise as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I would. I think I would hang around. I mean, certainly if Wembanyama comes, I'm at least, you know, getting him on the right track. Because I think when he does go, I don't think Popovich is, you know, disappearing. I still think he's staying in the front office capacity in some shape or form. So Wembanyama, if that is to happen, or Scoot Henderson, that is very much his responsibility as well to make sure that works. I think if certainly one of those two guys ends up coming to San Antonio, I think he comes back.
If they don't, I
would probably put it about like 75%. He's back next year.
Yeah, I give think. It. Look, I'm with you. I think he will be back next season. It's just, you know, I have this romantic idea of him bowing out like that, entering the freaking Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
With, you know, you're the three guys that made you that helped make you the coach that you are. You know, what better way? And you're going in with one of them. So
Are we entirely sure Tony Parker is going to get in this year, though?
I mean, he's a finalist.
That doesn't mean. I mean, Chris.
I know it.
I mean, the Chris Bosh was a finalist last year. He didn't get in.
I mean, you'll probably bite back at me, but they let Tim Hardaway in last year.
Yeah, but Hardaway, right. But Hardaway, Tony Parker's going to get in. He's going to get in. I'm not entirely sure he's a first ballot, though.
I think he is.
That's a conversation for more than 7 minutes we have left. Whatever.
Exactly.
But yeah, I don't think he's had the resume where you look at like Ginobili, you look at Manu and you're like, that's first ballot. Yes. No doubt. Mm-hmm. That's of course not Duncan. I don't think you look at his resume and can entirely say, no doubt, first ballot Hall of Famer. He might get in. I wouldn't be surprised if he get in, but I also wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't.
I would be surprised if he doesn't get in. But you know what? You're right. You know, that's for we're going to table this for the next episode of Locked On Spurs. I think this is a great, great conversation because I'm about to take away the limited content I have left, Casey. We go down this route.
Yeah.
Locked On Spurs. I mean, as far as the remaining 20 games, I think one of the other big, not I say big storylines, but something to keep an eye on. How's that? Is this, do you think the Spurs will get 20 wins? Do they got 6 more wins in them? In the remaining 20.
I mean, given the current product I'm watching, no.
Yeah.
I got to look at the schedule. I think they do have a lot of home games coming up in March, mm-hmm. but then they have a road trip at the end of March too. Probably. Well, I don't think they hit the Vegas over under of 22.5.
Yeah, I think that was the Vegas over under right there. Yep, 22. Yeah.
I don't think they win 23 games. I can't see them winning 9 games. I could see them winning 6. But I can't see them winning. What do we have? 14 wins right now, right?
Yeah, 14 wins. Yeah,
I don't see them getting 9 to go over the Vegas number. But I 6. Ugh. I'm in a good mood. Sure.
I think they get 19 or 20. I think they got right around there. Because I'm assuming there's going to be some of those power teams that are going to rest players and probably try out some G League team. And that may help this first team. Or, they get Devin back and at least make things more competitive. I mean, with Devin back, do they win that game versus Detroit, that double overtime? I think so. I think pushes them a little over the edge. But yeah, season's almost over, everybody. Hang in there. The real season will begin as soon as these next 20-ish games are over. Hey, we're done talking. We want to hear from you. What do you think about tonight's game, Spurs-Dallas? I know we didn't get too much into it, but we kind of know what the outcome is going to be. And also, what are you expecting from these last 20-so games from your San Antonio Spurs? More of the same or something different that we didn't even hit on? Casey, what's going on the TV side over here at Ken's? I know you got the Brahmas going on, huh?
Yeah, I would say that's probably the most refreshing thing that's happening right now. The Brahmas. You saw the GM got fired, right?
That was quick.
I know. One epic collapse, and that was it on the way out. They said it was a one-off. Hopefully that's the case. I had fun with it. I didn't get to go to the game last week, but you know, by all accounts, it looked like it was fun.
I've seen this song and the dance before, Casey. This is how it all begins. This is how it's nothing. It's nothing. It's just a one-off thing. Oh, sure. The Commanders are committed to San Antonio. Casey, we've seen this before.
I will say this. Mind you, I haven't lived here for 20 years. But in the very recent future, the league's collapsing here, more specifically the last two, or I'm not writing off XFL yet, but you know, there is a strong chance that happens because every one of these leagues is always an uphill climb. I don't think it's for a lack of San Antonio putting in effort.
Oh, no, not at all.
I mean, I don't have the attendance numbers in front of me, but the AAF, always felt like it was good getting a good crowd in there. The other day, it sold out at the Alamo Dome, or was close to, of like 25,000 seats that they opened up. It's not like a lack of effort from San Antonio. It's the extended circumstances that's led to the team's demise, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I will say that.
Yeah, the AAF and the Commanders, and at least for one game in San Antonio, because now what, they're not going to be in San Antonio for another month and a half, the Brahmas. Like
that. Next yeah. three game.
Yeah. It's not for lack of San Antonio making an effort. There's not about that. It's just bad management of the league. And, hopefully the XFL does work out. It does. I think the NFL's back in it, isn't it? I think it has the NFL's back, I believe. So
back in the XFL?
Yeah, the XFL, yeah.
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I don't know financially, but like their blessing, so to speak. But there's a lot other sports stuff to check out with Casey on the TV set. Now he's still going to cover the Spurs. He's still going to dive into that. There's a lot of draft talk. I know you guys are probably really going to deep dive into that as soon as the season's over. And much more right here on Lockdown Spurs and on the Kens 5 TV side. Thanks for making Lockdown Spurs your first listen each and every day. Free and available wherever you get podcasts. And check out Lockdown Game to Game. Every NBA recap, stat, move, they got it at Lockdown Game to Game. Follow them on Twitter, YouTube, and the Odyssey app, just like Lockdown Spurs. The Kens 5 Plus app as well, YouTube, and many other platforms. So for Casey Vieira, I am Jeff Garcia. We're putting in a lock on this episode of Lockdown Spurs.